Happy 2-year anniversary, River City. We made it by the grace of God. Here we are, 2 years. It's kind of hard to believe that we've been at this for 2 years already. Some of you have been at it a lot longer than that if you were part of the preview services leading up to that launch. But if you're new to River City, the original charter group, if you want to call it that, of people that started River City came from a church in North Liberty where I was on staff as worship leader for 6 years. And during that time, we saw God putting pieces together for something to happen here in Riverside. And after probably 2 or 3 years of discussions and praying and planning and more discussions and more praying, that church sent us with their blessing to start here in Riverside. So we did a couple preview services in people's homes the summer of 2018. And so this is one of the first ones. Just a couple people gathered together in Nate and Janine's garage. And we did that monthly throughout the summer. And then in the fall, we had our first public, the fall of 2018. Yeah, we had our first public service. Did a few more previews until our launch in April of 2019. At the elementary school. So it's just been kind of exciting to think through just these last 2 years, how things have gone and how God has been at work. And so we love to take this opportunity of our anniversary here to do a spring Vision Sunday. And what Vision Sunday generally means, you know, the word vision means to see, right? And so what we want to do is just take the whole Sunday just to see, just to take a look. At looking back at the past, see what God has done, the things that He has worked in us, and then also to look ahead. Seeing isn't always seeing what's right in front of us. Sometimes it's in our imagination. So we want to think ahead to what God could be leading us into. And so that's what we want to do today. And so kids, if you've got those packs of Wiki Sticks, since we're going to be talking about vision and seeing and things like that today, I'd love for you to make some glasses or some eyeballs. That'd be kind of cool. Make some eyeballs with your Wiki Stick. And then maybe we'll have you show them off to somebody when you're done. Alright, we're back in January of this year. You know, River City was in this weird place of we're meeting here in this building and we weren't in the school again yet and just kind of not sure where we were going for the next couple weeks. And so we're meeting here, and I'm reading this book in January, and I'm thinking ahead, our Vision Sunday's coming, and man, we've got issues with building, and people are going to want to know stuff, and you got to have something together for Vision Sunday just to present to people. And I'm reading this book called Glorious Finish. It's a book for pastors written by a guy named Daniel Henderson, and I'm reading along, and all this stuff is in my head, and I read this quote in a book. In that book, and it said, God hates your vision meetings. I'm like, what? Now what? God hates your vision meetings. And he was quoting a German pastor and theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who said that in the 1930s or 1940s. God hates your vision meetings. And as I'm reading that, I'm like, wait, I thought you're supposed to have vision meetings. Like, what about the book of Proverbs? It says, without vision, the people perish. Right? So my calling as a pastor here, part of it is my responsibility anyway, is to produce and communicate this compelling vision for River City Church, or it's going to perish. It's going to die. Like, that's what Proverbs means, right? Like, I got to have 5-year goals. We got to have 10-year goals. We got to be talking about what we're doing way down the line. And here in this book that I'm reading, one of the great theologians of recent history says, God hates your vision meetings. Well, according to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the author of that quote, the problem isn't with the vision meetings themselves. The problem is with us. And here's more of his quote. Visioning makes the dreamer proud and pretentious. The man who fashions a visionary ideal of community demands that it be realized by God, by others, and by himself. He enters into a community of Christians with his demands. He sets up his own law, and he judges the brothers and sisters and God himself accordingly. He acts as if he is the creator of Christian community, as if his dream binds men together. When things don't go his way, he calls the effort a failure. When his ideal picture is destroyed, he sees the whole thing going to smash. So he becomes first an accuser of his brethren, then an accuser of God, and finally the despairing accuser of himself. So I read this, and I immediately sent it out to the rest of the leadership team, because the last thing that we should ever want to do at River City is enter Riverside with this picture in our minds that we picked up from another church in another area. And I say that's the last thing we should want to do, because most of the time that's exactly what we do. I mean, you guys know how this works. You've all been to other churches, right? So as you visit other churches, you know, you compare things. And so you see things in those churches that you like. And so maybe from this church over here, I like their children's ministry, so let's grab onto that. This one, I like their worship, so let's grab onto that. This one, I really like their building and the style and what they've done with it, so let's grab onto that. I like this preacher's style, so let's grab onto that. And then we hold that clump together and we say, now that's our vision. We want that. We see these things we like, and so we pull it all together and it becomes the vision for what we want to see in our own church. And since it's the best of everything, God's going to love this. He's going to really bless this and pour out on us because we picked the best of everything and made it our own. But the reality is that in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so the point is, before we go any further in Vision Sunday, let me just make this clear. Jesus, the Son of God, is your lead pastor. Jesus, the Son of God, is the great shepherd of the sheep who lays down his life for them. This is, River City is his church that he is building, and he is the one with the vision. So if he's the great shepherd, I think that makes me something like a sheepdog. Whose idea it is, or whose calling it is, just to keep us following him. This particular group, following him. And the proof of that is, the more I get to know some of you, the more that I'm learning, there have been people in this city that have been praying for Riverside. They've been praying for something to happen here, for God to pour out on Riverside for like 20 or 30 years. People have been praying, asking God to do something, which means if it's true that it's been 20 or 30 years, that means that while I was running the bases in Manheim, Pennsylvania as a 10-year-old kid, God was already at work to plant River City Church. And before that, God was at work to bring the right people here to pray the prayers that he is now answering through River City Church. And now, again, I want to be clear on this. Even though most days I am full of self-serving pride, I am not so arrogant as to say the River City Church is the full and final answer to 20 or 30 years of prayers. I'm not that arrogant. I don't believe that. But my point is, River City is not something that we started. River City is something God was doing long before any of us had a clue. So turn in scripture with me to Hebrews chapter 12. These are the verses that Nelson just read for us. And we're going to take a look at just a few of these together. One in particular, and that is Hebrews 12, verse 28. 12, verse 28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. By it we may serve God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And I want to hone in on two things here from this scripture. The first is the word receiving. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You see that word? Receiving. So if you are truly born again, if you are truly in Christ, then you are receiving a kingdom. You didn't create it. You didn't manufacture it. If you remember back a couple weeks ago when I had the branch up here, The branch can't force its way onto the vine. The branch's job is to receive from the vine. So this kingdom, we are receiving it. This week in your prayer guide, if you go through this, one of the things that you're going to be looking for is aspects of the kingdom of God that are already here. Jesus came bringing the kingdom when he came to earth. And so as we walk through Holy Week, we're going to be looking at what are some of the signs of the kingdom that are already here. And one of those is the local church. One of those signs of the kingdom coming is that God binds together people from different backgrounds, different walks of life, different races, all together in his kingdom. In an article to Christianity Today, a pastor from Missouri named Chase Rapallo said it like this, in terms of relating this to the church. The pastor's first call is not to envision a church, but to receive one. The pastor is not an entrepreneur. We are all called to a project that is already underway. And I love that because for me, that takes a lot of weight off of us as a leadership team, of all of us as a group of people, that this is God's work that he is doing. It's not up to us to maintain this. He is doing the work in us and through us. So in his infinite and eternal wisdom, God has established this particular church in this particular city, in this particular moment of human history, for the sake of his name and his glory. That's pretty wild. That's pretty wild to think about. So, let's keep going. We're receiving a kingdom we have nothing to do with. We're receiving a kingdom that we don't deserve. So the question that we should start with on Vision Sunday is not, what are we going to do? That's not a bad question. But I think the question we need to ask before that is, what is God already doing right in front of us that he's given us to be part of? What's God already doing that he's put right in front of us for us to be doing? And Hebrews 13 then goes on with a couple of these things. Here's some practical things. The first, don't neglect to show hospitality. God has given each one of you a story. I know when we think hospitality, maybe the first thing we think of is our home. And you think, okay, don't neglect to show hospitality means you got to have more people over for dinner. Open up your home, get them in there, and do it pretty often. Well, hospitality can mean that, but it's not only that. God's given us each not just a home, but a story. And part of welcoming people is welcoming them into your story. That if God's truly done a work in you, if God's truly brought you from death to life, then he's given you something to share with people. You can open your story and say, listen, I'm not proud of my past, but it is my past. And God's taken it and redeemed it. And he's forgiven me for my past. And so I can tell you whatever you want to hear today, because I know that it's not about my story. It's about the greatness and the goodness of a God who rescued me and redeemed me. That's part of what it means to be hospitable. The second thing is, God's given us freedom. We have the freedom to gather here this morning. In publicly like this, we have different freedoms that we experience as believers, but he says, don't forget those in prison. Remember that around the world, there are people who are being imprisoned for their faith. The word mistreated means tortured, as if you were suffering bodily. So remember to pray for those around the world who are being persecuted for their faith. I think part of being thankful comes into this. It's where we're thankful that we haven't been experiencing that just yet. But remember those who are. The third thing is, God has given us relationships. But he says marriage is to be honored by all. And I think how we can put this into our own words is, don't cheapen marriage and sex. Don't cheapen it. This is something that should be honored by God, by us. It's a gift from God. Practical ways to see what's right in front of us that God has given us. Next thing is, he's given us a job and the ability to work for most. But his point here is, be satisfied with what you have. Keep your life free from the love of money. Maybe you have a job, and the love of money drives you to just work and work and work and work and work so that you get more. Or maybe you don't have a job, and the love of money just has you thinking, I'm not going to be happy until I have some. So whatever side of that you're on, he's asking us to keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. And all of these things come together in this promise of God that he's not going anywhere. That this kingdom that he is ushering in is unshakable. He will never leave you or abandon you. And so, Hebrews 12:28 says, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Let us be thankful. So, with some of those things in mind, here's what I envision, or what we envision. I think God envisions a church where 100% of its members are actively involved in pursuing his glory on their own street through whatever resources he has put in their hands. That's what I think God has in mind for River City Church, that 100% of its members are actively involved in pursuing his glory on their own street through whatever resources he has put in their hands. And the outcome of that would be that every man, woman, and child in Riverside and the surrounding communities would be able to have a gospel-centered interaction on a daily basis. That's what we think this could look like. Now, having a gospel-centered interaction on a daily basis, I don't think that means that we're always preaching. You know, that everywhere you're carrying a Bible with you, and when you pass someone on the sidewalk, you just right away start, you know, preaching through the book of Acts with them. I don't think that's what gospel-centered interaction means. Excuse me. I think it means that when we play ball together, when we sell a car, or we sell a house, or something like that to somebody, when we go to Murphy's or La Chifa or Madeline's Coffee House, or we run into someone on the sidewalk, or we have a backyard conversation with someone, that they are interacting with someone who sees them for who they are, sees them the way God sees them, and someone who is an image bearer of God, who sees the good in the world instead of adding on to the complaining that is so easy to do. And they run into someone who extends the love and grace of Jesus, whether they deserve it or not. That's what I think a gospel-centered interaction looks like. Now, there are a lot of ways that we've seen this play out over the last couple years, but here are just a couple. Here's just a couple of those. Obviously, our first goal at River City is to see people respond to the good news of Jesus. And over the last 2 years since we started, we've been able to celebrate with 8 people that have gone public with their faith through believers' baptism. Yeah, we can clap for that. That's awesome. So when a person is born again, when they are brought from death to life, the first step of obedience is to go public. If you change jobs, you tell somebody. Right? If you move to a different state or a different city or a different house, you tell somebody. You want them to know something's changed, something is different. If you get married and you change your last name, you tell somebody. We tell people when change has happened. And so in baptism, you're telling somebody, I'm changed. I'm not that same person that I was anymore. I've got a new identity, a new name, a new purpose, a new life. And so we were able to celebrate with 8 people in the last 2 years, and that's been really exciting. And I would love for I know there's more of you who know that's the next step for me, is I need to go forward in baptism. So you'll get a link sent around by text this week with the announcements on probably Tuesday, and there'll be a link on there for baptism. So if that's something that you are interested in and want to pursue, that's how you do that. Just wait for that text. The second thing, we want to see people walking out this identity, this new faith, in their homes. Nate introduced Grace Marriage that's going to be starting up here again. Our second session is coming up. We're going to have a second group that's ready to start for that. Right now, there are 10 married couples signed up for Grace Marriage. This group meets once a quarter, every 90 days, to apply themselves to the kind of marriages that are built on the foundation of grace. I think, what would it look like if not only can we go through River City and say, people didn't get divorced? I mean, that's great. We all love to see that. But what if instead of that being the bar, what if we said, we want to see marriages that are thriving, that are doing well, that are acting out of grace for each other, that their marriages are built on this foundation. And we know that, you know, it doesn't always end up like that. But let's give it our best shot. So there's a second group already in motion, and again, that will be on the announcement text that's coming around, and we'll include a link for that. But just so you know, Nate's already started in on this by giving you his own personal testimony on this. But this is not marriage counseling, this group. This is not a marriage conference necessarily. This is not something where 10 couples sit around in a circle and we go around and everyone says the worst thing that they've done. That's not how it goes. But this is a group of people simply spending the day with your spouse, centered around grace, with the purpose of growing closer together. So again, you can look for that link on Tuesday if you're interested in that. Another goal that we presented in the fall at our other Vision Sunday was equipping, helping people grow in their understanding of Scripture, understanding of who God is, understanding of who they are. And we had 11 men and women attend biblical training in the last year, in two classes of biblical training, where people took a deeper dive into the Scriptures to understand, how do you study this at a deep level? How do you communicate this with other people? And so we're really excited for that. Hopefully we'll have the next round here in the summer. Another thing we've seen in terms of equipping is several individuals going through our biblical counseling, receiving it for themselves, being equipped to walk through the hard and difficult seasons of life from a biblical perspective. Again, based on who God is and not based on our circumstances. And so we're really thankful for those who've stepped up and undergone that kind of counseling. And additionally, a handful of folks are taking their next steps and being equipped to do biblical counseling. To not just go through it, but also to be able to help others as they walk through difficult times with people around them. Second to last thing I'll mention here, on equipping, is that there is a women's Bible study that's starting up this fall. And so it's women studying the Word of God together. And that will be part of the link as well. So if you're looking for ways to get involved, there'll be a link on that. So with these things together, we're looking ahead and imagining this community of faith where 100% of its members are actively using whatever resources God has given them on their street. Next thing then, building update. I know we've been talking about this for the last couple months here, just on, you know, wondering where we're going with this. Next Sunday, we're having two services because we anticipate it's going to be full. And so our classrooms in this building are pretty small. I'm just trying to think, all right, how do we move ahead forward and plan on the future? And so just a quick update on that. We've started thinking about land and where we would want that to be, even what a building would look like and those kinds of things. And I think our heart, the specifics of land that we're looking for, is we would love for something that's within walking distance of downtown Riverside. That's just this picture that we have in our heads where people can walk or ride bike to church and don't have to travel a long distance. So that's what we're thinking for land. So you can help us keep your eyes open for that kind of thing. As it comes to our own building, one of the things that's been on our hearts ever since we started this is we don't want to, I should say we wholeheartedly reject this idea that the building of a church should be a place that's used for an hour and a half a week. We wholeheartedly reject that. We want to build a building or be in a building that works for the whole community. That is being used every day, not even just by the church, but by the community, by people who need a space to meet or do whatever. And so that's the picture that's in our head for a building. And so even as we start thinking about this process, like some of you are probably like, I've been working on building projects and I want nothing to do with this. And maybe others of you are like, we can't build it fast enough. And the rest are somewhere in between. And so as we started looking for this, though, we believe the foundational level of this, again, to go back to what I said earlier, we don't want to just come into Riverside and say, here's what you need, and we built a building for you. We want to start with the city and see what they perceive their needs are and see what the city perceives would be the best way to help them and provide for them to meet some needs. So our next step in the building process, our next step even in just moving forward in the life of the church, is that this summer we're going to be doing a neighborhood survey for Riverside. And it's going to involve a lot of different pieces, and I don't have all of them here today. It's not important what they all are at the moment, but it's going to involve interviews and door-to-door and things like that, just to get a feel for what is this neighborhood about, and how can we meet the needs that they have here. So that's the update on the building. But that survey is going to tell us what is right in front of us. And then it will match us up with what resources God has given us in order to meet those needs. So I'm really excited for that. I think it's going to be a great time. And we're going to be tapping some of you on the shoulder to help us out with that in the coming weeks. Last thing we want to cover here this morning is finances. Obviously, buildings take finances. Obviously, operations take finances. We pay rent for this. And last year was an interesting year. So I've invited Janine, who is our Director of Finances, to come up and help us walk through where we are at financially as a church. Janine kind of oversees day-to-day budget operation, paying bills, and giving here at River City. I have no clue what any of you give, and that is on purpose. Janine is the one who takes care of that, so if you have questions about giving or finances, you can talk to her. So, thanks for being willing to share on this. When it comes to River City, obviously we are a nonprofit, and so we depend on people's offerings every week. We got rent here at the building, we've got all kinds of other things going on, but yet we don't pass the offering plates, right? We just have a box in the back of the room, you can give online, and then all of a sudden 2020 hits, and we spend 20 Sundays where no one can get to the giving box. So, give us a snapshot. How did we fare financially last year?
Yeah, it was amazing how God provided, and just to see the generosity and to see how the giving just stayed consistent throughout 2020. Throughout all of 2020 and the 20 Sundays online, we were still able to support a full-time pastor, just be able to cover all of our operational expenses. And then we were also able to put back into our building fund. And so, yeah, it was just amazing to watch how God just was so faithful and how he provided above and beyond what we could have imagined or anticipated. So as you can see, Bill and Jeff are handing out some budget reports. And as you can see there, just where our accounts sit at, the cash we have in the bank. From that, we just feel incredibly grateful, and all the glory goes to God for, just the faithfulness that we had in 2020.
Absolutely. What were some of the things that we were able to do last year as a result of faithful giving?
Yeah, so some of the things where we were able to get school supplies to the teachers at Highland, which is always a highlight to be able to go in and bless them. We were able, through our network partnership, to help seven churches get started. We were able to set aside money for a future church plant. We were also able to, put into our building and our land fund. And then a couple other things were just being able to pay a pastor full-time, help with the cost of Rodney's education. He's taking some counseling and theology classes. And from our benevolence fund, we were able to help certain local families with just some of their immediate needs. And also we helped with some derecho relief. So yeah, it was a blessing to be able to be there to provide some of those needs as they came up.
Yeah. So as it pertains to the budget for this year, leadership team planned the budget, put some of these pieces in place. How do you see the budget supporting some of the things that we're talking about this morning? Equipping, outreach, and you already mentioned building. But how does the vision affect what we set the budget for this year?
Yeah. You know what? Back to the last answer, I missed one thing that I really wanted to point out. And that is our incredible ambassador team. So we have a phenomenal team of people here who volunteer their time. And in the early days of starting university, Meg and I had the opportunity to attend a church finances conference. And at that conference, one of the things we learned is that most churches' staffing salary is 60% of their budget. And here at River City, we're substantially under that. And that is due to the fact that we have so many phenomenal ambassadors who give up their time and their talent. From Doug and Gail, who have given countless hours behind the scenes on Sunday mornings. Miranda, who leads Kid City. Evan, who leads worship. And so, you know, there's many others. I'm missing a lot of you. But just those examples of us all pulling together has really allowed us to be able to, you know, add more generously to our building fund, or to give more generously, and so we're also really grateful for that.
Yeah, for sure. So, if people have specific questions or want to know more about a certain aspect of the budget, they talk to you, talk to Nate. Where else do they go for information?
Yeah, so the FRC is what's called the Finance Review Committee, and they are a group of people, a team, who advises and helps set the budget for River City. So that's led by Josh Kruger, and then we have on that team Bill Fortlis and Tom Graves, and Nate King is the vision bridge between the FRC and leadership team. So if you have any questions about what you see on this report, or just any questions in general about the giving or finances, you can absolutely talk to one of those guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Janine, for sharing on that. I would love for us just to celebrate our ambassadors, our financial giving, and all those things. Can we just celebrate that together? I love it that we can say at the end of this that the call to action at the end of presenting some of the vision, and this isn't everything that we're thinking about, this is just a little bit. I love it that the call to action here at the end is not, we need you to give more. The call to action at the end of this is, what has God given you already? What's He put right in front of you that you can get involved in? That's the call to action. Is let's pray and seek the Lord for what He's given us to do already. So to summarize all of this, we can come to Vision Sunday today from a place of holding our dreams open-handed, knowing that we're not the ones who dreamed up this church. God did. We're not the one who builds the church. Jesus does. We can come to Vision Sunday knowing that structures and programs and budgets are not the power of the church. The Holy Spirit is. We can gather around this today knowing that revival is not going to happen when we have a building that we want. Revival happens when God's people who are called by His name humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from sin and receive from Him this unshakable kingdom in the person and work of Jesus and move forward with thankfulness for what He has done.